John 10, verses 1 to 15. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he is the hired hand and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and knows the Father, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Thank you so much, to Connor, for reading for us, and to Daniel for leading us in prayer. Before we begin to look at this tonight, let's take another wee minute to settle our hearts and just pray to God. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its authority. And we pray that tonight, as we look at the passage that has just been read, God, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that you would equip us to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question that might seem like a really random question. I guarantee you didn't think that you'd be asked it tonight in church. What do you know about sheep? Any sheep enthusiasts among us? No one? I wouldn't own up to that either if I was perfectly honest. But did you know that there are about 1 billion sheep, give or take, in the world today? Or that, despite what a lot of people think, sheep are actually quite intelligent animals. Their IQ level is about that of a cow, but not quite that of a pig. Who would have known that pigs were actually smarter? Did you know that Egyptians used to think that sheep were sacred? They used to mummify them whenever they died. Or did you know that a sheep, whenever it falls over, doesn't actually have the ability to get back up again, and more than likely it will die? I was telling that to somebody earlier this morning. They were like, "Oh yeah, we had to tip a sheep earlier." Apparently that's the term for it. Or did you know that in New Zealand, the ratio of sheep to humans is about 7 sheep to 1 human? They're being overrun by sheep, apparently, in New Zealand. Peter, why are you giving us useless, random information about sheep? Maybe I'm a sheep enthusiast at heart. Or maybe it's because I kind of want you to have that image of a sheep in your head. Maybe I want you to go off and remember the time that Peter randomly got up and started giving us random facts about sheep so that you remember the passage that we're looking at, because sheep play a really important role in it. Jesus uses this imagery of sheep and a shepherd, but also some false shepherds, to get a really important point across to those that he is speaking to. You see, the Pharisees are the ones that Jesus was really targeting with what he's saying here in John 10. The Pharisees have just dismissed a blind guy that Jesus had healed, and they should have been rejoicing, they should have been glad, and yet they dismiss him. They don't really show any care towards him. And so Jesus gets annoyed and decides, you know what, I'm going to challenge them. And he challenges their attitude. He challenges their heart by painting this picture of a flock of sheep, one who is a good shepherd, but those who are kind of false shepherds, ones that he calls thieves and robbers. And I want to look at this a wee bit tonight. I want to look at false shepherds and those who Jesus says don't really care for the sheep at all. I want to look at the good shepherd, the one who truly cares and has a heart for the sheep, and then also the sheep that need someone to follow, like to be led by others. I don't know if you've ever been called a sheep before. It's probably not one of those things that in your life people tend to call you. No one ever really goes, "Ah, you're such a sheep." No one ever really does that. But the Bible actually describes us as sheep quite a lot. There's quite a number of times in the Bible where the Bible refers to you and I as sheep. Jesus does it in the passage that Connor read for us tonight. You think of passages in the Old Testament like Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. There's the psalm that Jack read at the very start of worship, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, implying that we are sheep. And it's actually, when you think about it, a really good illustration for what we are like. You maybe have never thought that you're kind of like a sheep, but in some ways we are. Because you see, sheep need to follow. That's what they do. They have a shepherd, and they follow that shepherd's voice. Whatever the shepherd calls, they come running. They follow. Sheep like and need to be led. And that's kind of what we're like, isn't it? So often, we like to follow. We follow what other people say, follow what other people do. We go with the latest trend and idea and view and opinion. We like to be led. And really, when you think about it, that's what we're made for. We're made to follow. We're made to be led. We are made to follow God, and we're made to be led by Him. But in true fashion, like sheep, so often we tend to wander. Have you ever been driving down the road, and all of a sudden there's just these random sheep at the side of the road, or random sheep running down the road towards you? If you've got a hole in your hedge or a hole in the fence of the field, a sheep will find it. And they will get out, and they will go off wandering, trying to find greener pastures, trying to find whatever they can out in the random wilderness. That's what sheep do. They tend to wander. They tend to go off to seek something greater. So often in our lives, when it comes to God, whether we're Christian or whether we're not, we so easily get distracted by other things. We go seeking greener pastures, wanting to do our own thing. We get drawn away and led away by God, by other views, other opinions, by the world around us. We fall into this trend of listening more to the world and our culture and our society more than we actually listen to the things of God. The thing is this: if you're not being led in your life by God, then kind of by default you're being led away from God. There's God here and His views and His opinions and God's way of life. But then there's the view and the opinion of the world over here. One is perfect, one is fallen and broken. And you're either being led towards the things of God and being drawn towards God and being influenced in that way, or you're being influenced to go towards the world, which is the polar opposite to what God says and His way. I was at a training thing recently, and they made a statement that really struck me. They said, every single person is being discipled. We normally talk about discipleship, and we normally think of it within church, and we normally think of discipling others or being discipled as a thing to do with Christianity and being kind of discipled towards following Jesus and equipped to following Jesus and to encourage others to following Jesus. But really, what being disciple means, discipleship really means just following. And so when we talk about discipleship in church, we mean following Jesus, but every single person is being discipled. And they're either being discipled to be a follower of Jesus and to follow the things of Jesus and influenced to follow Jesus, or you're being discipled to follow something else, someone else, some other view, some other opinion, ultimately to follow the world. And so who are you being discipled by, and what are you being discipled towards? Who's being an influence on your life? Because here were a bunch of Pharisees, and their role was to disciple people. Their role as religious leaders, they were supposed to point people towards God, but they did a terrible job of it. And so Jesus decides to challenge them by using this story of a good shepherd and a sheep and thieves and robbers. What's the role of a shepherd? What's a shepherd's role? A shepherd's role is to protect, to look after, It's the feed, the guides, it's the overall well-being of a sheep. That's what a shepherd does. You think even in the Bible of good shepherds, you think of someone like David, who we're doing a series on normally in our Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. And so David, before he faced Goliath, was out in a field looking after his sheep, and he put his life on the line to protect them by taking on a lion, by taking on a bear. He was willing to give up his life just to look after his sheep as best he could. Shepherd cares for the sheep. And the Pharisees, who have just dismissed this guy who was blind and now all of a sudden can see, were supposed to do that. The Pharisees were supposed to be people who cared for others, encouraged them in the things of God, were an example of how to live a life for God, but instead of having a heart for people and eyes for people, they had a heart only for themselves. Instead of having a heart for the things of God, they had a heart of selfishness. They were selfish, they were terrible examples. They cared about themselves. They put unrealistic expectations on people. They were very much lived as if they could earn their way into God's good books, earn their way into heaven. They weren't true shepherds. In fact, they were supposed to be blessing people on the things of God, and instead, they actually robbed people of the things of God. Verse 1, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Verse 8, he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. The Pharisees were very much a group of people that Jesus really felt people shouldn't listen to. They weren't true disciples. They weren't leading people towards God. Instead, they were influencing and discipling people away from God. And in our lives, guys, that can so easily happen. In our lives, we can so easily be drawn away by the views and the opinions, the latest trend, the latest way of thinking and living, and it draws us away from the things of God. And it can lead us into a really dangerous place, because you see, this world promotes pride. This world that we live in promotes that life is truly all about you, that as long as you live your life in a way that makes you happy, then that's what really matters. That your opinion and your view is always right. This world promotes lust, it promotes wealth, it promotes personal gain, it promotes everything that is truly the opposite of what God promotes. And so if we allow those things, if we allow the world around us as Christians to influence our lives, to be what we follow, the voice that we allow to lead us, then it leads us into a really dangerous place. For young people, I think you face a lot of pressure. And one of the things I've noticed is that there seems to be a lot of different voices in our culture, in our society, that tell you what you should prioritize in life. For example, it's maybe that right now what you should prioritize is your schoolwork. Your exams, your A-levels, your AS, your GCSEs, right now that's all that matters. Focus on that, put your time and your effort into that. Or maybe there's the voice of, well, in life all you have to aim for is a great career and earn lots of money. And so you begin to think of the best career that you could possibly reach for, and you start to revolve your entire life around trying to achieve that one goal. And then if you don't achieve it, well, then you must have failed somewhere along the way. Or maybe it's the pressure to really be in a relationship and to focus on a relationship, and the world then tries to tell you what that relationship should really look like, even if it isn't the greatest or most healthy way, even if it's against what God's view of a relationship should look like. Maybe it's the pressure for you to be the best at rugby or hockey or football or netball, and so your entire week revolves around that, focusing on it, thinking about it, training for it, playing it. And what happens is whenever we listen to those voices and we prioritize those things, we can become so busy that we don't have time for anything else. We don't have time to do anything else. And one of the things I've noticed is that we don't have time especially for church. We don't have time especially for coming together and worshiping God. We don't have time to come along to youth. We don't have time to fit prayer into our life. We don't have time to fit reading our Bible into our life. We don't have time to listen to the voice of God and actually be led by Him, because we're so busy doing so many other things. Because we think that, you know what, my exams are all that matter right now, and so I need to get stuck into this physics book, so I don't really have time to focus on anything else. Or I'm just really focused on my relationship, and so I don't have time to think about a relationship with God or anybody else. Let me show you what I mean. I was meeting with somebody through the week, and I was chatting about what I was going to speak on, and they gave me a bit of an illustration I thought might be a bit helpful. And so if I spill all this sand everywhere, I apologize if Van Eagleson is here, but hopefully I won't. This jar represents our life. And what we are great at as people is filling up our life and filling up our time. And so we fill our time up with schoolwork. We fill our time up maybe focusing on sports or relationships or friendships, our Xbox, on our phones, whatever it might be. But one of the things that we are great at is we don't like to have any extra time left. And so we fill our time right to the very top. And so we've no time. Then what happens is, as Christians, we then go, wait, I need to spend some time with God. God needs to fit into my week somewhere along the way here. And so we try then to fit God in, but he doesn't really fit. We haven't really left much time because we've been listening to everybody else tell us, right, I need to focus on my exams. I need to focus on my relationship. I need to focus on my sport. I need to focus on X, Y, and Z. And we maybe try to cram God in as best that we can, but no matter how much we try, the lid never fits because we filled our time far too much. For us as Christians, guys, the way it should be is this. This jar, which actually says Mr. Right on it, by the way. The one said Mrs. Always Right on it. This jar should be our life. And the way it should be for us as Christians, God goes first. God is the priority. If you want to listen to a voice that tells you what you should prioritize in your life, God is what you should prioritize in your life. Everything else can then fit in around that, with God at the very center of it. Your exams you should focus on, and you should put as much time and effort in as you possibly can, but not at the expense of time with God. Your relationships, there's nothing wrong with being in a relationship, but only if God is at the very, very center of it. Everything else should revolve around him, at the very core of it. We can afford to try and fit God into our weeks. Guys, our week should revolve solely around him. It's not about trying to cram God into our week. It's about having our week revolve around God and what he wants for us. He should be our priority. If you want to listen to a voice in your life, listen to the one who Jesus describes as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, his voice. In the parable, Jesus says in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. You think back to what the job of a shepherd is. What's Jesus saying there when he says that? Well, he's saying, I'm the one who truly cares about you. I'm the one who wants to protect you and to feed you and to encourage you and point you and guide you into the things of God. I'm the one who truly gives you life. Life to the full, the life that you were made to live for God. Nothing else will be able to give you life. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. For those of us who are Christians, Christ has given us true life. Life to the full. In him you find forgiveness and grace and mercy and love and joy and peace, everything that you need. A shepherd's role is to give his sheep everything they need in order to survive. And everything that you truly need in life, guys, is found in Jesus. If you're a Christian, you already have it. It's in Jesus. And so that's why he's so much more important to focus on and to prioritize in your life. John Piper, if you don't know who he is, he's a Christian pastor in America. He writes lots of good books. He's really good to listen to. And he once said this. He said, abundant life is not having stuff. It's about having peace, having joy. It's about having God. Abundant life is not about having stuff. It's not about getting the best exams. Abundant life is not about having the best relationship. It's not about having a great career, a great house, having lots of money, whatever it might be for you. Abundant life is not about stuff. It is about having joy. It's about having peace, all of which can only be found in Christ. And ultimately, it is about having God. And as Christians, we have the privilege of having God in our lives. Christ has opened up a door for us to follow God, to be able to listen and to know Him. And so our priority should be to tune our ears into what He has to say, not what everybody else or the world around us has to say. Look at verse 3. Jesus says, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out." We should know the voice of Jesus. We should know it and we should follow it. Because his voice is the one that promotes humility over pride. His voice is the one that promotes that life is about following God. It's not about following ourselves. That God's opinion matters, not our opinion, because his ways are not our ways. That life is about doing what pleases God, not what pleases other people or ourselves. And so the question for you, whether you are young or whether you're old, is are you listening to the Good Shepherd? Are you being led by God in the things of God? Is he the one that takes priority and center of your life? There's a really easy way to know whether you're being led truly by the things of God or not. It's by asking yourself, how much did I pick this up and read it? This is the Word of God. That's a statement that pretty much all of us in the room will know and will have heard lots and lots of times before, that this is the Word of God. It is His voice, His words, His guide to us so that we know how to live a life that glorifies Him. And so whenever we shut this, whenever we close it, we're closing off His voice. Whenever we close our Bibles and shut it out of our lives because we're so busy with so many other different things, we're shutting out the voice of God. We're shutting out the voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice that we should know, the voice that leads us, that guides us, that feeds us, that leads us into eternal life. And when we shut it out, when we shut out God's voice from our lives by not reading His Word, by not learning it and reading it and feeding on it, the only voice that we are left with is the voice of the world. The voice that promotes the very opposite of the things of God. Because the only thing that can lead us to God is Christ. The only thing that can help us to grow in our walk with God is His Word, praying to Him, prioritizing Him, spending time with Him. And so guys, don't shut God's voice out of your life. Get reading it. Prioritize it, learn from it, remember it, live by it. Psalm 119 talks about how His Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my guide. If you shut out the voice of God, you can so easily end up being like a wandering sheep, wandering aimlessly, not knowing where it's going, what it's looking for, or where it's going to end up. You can maybe still try to live your best. Maybe even as a Christian, you can try and live for God as best you can, but see if you ultimately shut out the Bible and you stop spending time with God, stop coming to church, spending time with other Christians, stop praying. If you shut Him out, you can try all you want, but ultimately, you'll fail along the way. We can't live for God without His Word. It's what we feed upon. It's what helps us to grow. Otherwise, we end up doing it in our own strength, in our own understanding. We end up being left our own without the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so, young people, slightly older people, don't fall into the way of our culture and world. Start listening to the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the voice that isn't a stranger or shouldn't be the voice of a stranger, because we should know His voice, and we know it by spending time listening to His voice. And so listen to the voice you know, not the voice that you don't. Why is Jesus the good shepherd? Why is Jesus able to say that these Pharisees are robbers and thieves? Don't listen to them, they're false. Listen to me, I am the good shepherd. Maybe you're here and you haven't actually realized that truth. Maybe you haven't thought about the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd. Maybe you've no idea really what in life is you're following or what's really leading you, or you've maybe just been going through life trying to do things as best as you can. Maybe you've been going through life and you've been thinking, do you know what, ultimately I can be a nice person. I can be as good as I can. I can be good living, and maybe God will be nice to me and let me into heaven. Maybe it's like the Pharisees and you think that you can earn your way and jump into God's good books. You can be as good as you want. You could be the best person in this room right now. But Jesus says that there is only one way. There's only one entrance to get into the sheepfold. There's only one way, and it's through him. Jesus, if we read, he talks about how he is the door. He says in verse 9, if you turn to it there, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why can Jesus say he's the good shepherd? Why is Jesus the one that in your life you should listen to and be led by? It's because he's the very one who gave his all for the sheep. He wasn't just willing to give his all for the sheep. He actually gave it all. He laid down his life for the sheep. He gave his life so that you could have life. Not just a good life here on earth. It doesn't mean that become a Christian and life becomes bright and great and rosy. But what it does mean is that you have a hope of a future that is the brightest, that is the greatest, that is the rosiest future that you could ever imagine, because it's a future with him in heaven in eternity forever. Verse 12, Jesus says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. We can follow the world as much as we want. We can put our dependency and standing for the things that the world stands for, the things that the world promotes. We can put our faith in our careers, our school path, our sports, our hobbies, friendships, relationships, whatever it might be. But ultimately, all those things have the potential to, or maybe already have, fail us somewhere along the way. We can put our trust and our hope in the things of the world, but ultimately the world focuses on one thing, the very thing that the Pharisees tended to focus on, me, myself, and I. Do whatever you have to do in order to survive. That's what our culture very much is. It's live your best life now for you. Do whatever you can in order to survive. Life is about you and you only. Jesus says the hired hand, they flee whenever something terrible happens because they don't actually care for the sheep. And so you can put your trust and your faith in all of those things. But the one who truly cares about you, the one who truly knows you, the good, the bad, the ugly, every part of who you are is Jesus. The one who laid down his life for the sheep. The verse I talked about earlier, Isaiah 53:6, it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We do things the way we want. We focus on ourselves. We go off like wandering sheep to see what else we can find. It's part of being sinful. It's part of being broken. But it says, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus has took the penalty for our sin. He's paid it on the cross. He's given up his life so that you can have true life, abundant life. And it comes whenever you put your trust and your faith in him and not the things of this world. Whenever you rely on him and nothing else, whenever you follow him as the shepherd of your life, then you are saved. Because on the cross, he opened up a door for us to come and be a part of his family. Verse 14, he talks about how he owns the sheep. You become his, part of his family. And so this evening, is he your good shepherd? This evening, you've maybe been putting your trust and your hope in a lot of other things. I want to encourage you, put your trust and your hope in Jesus. And maybe you are a Christian tonight, but maybe you've fallen into that way of listening to the voices and the opinions and everything else around you. And you've got out of the way of reading your Bible. You've got out of the way maybe of coming to church as often as you maybe should be. You've got out of the way of praying as much as you should be and just spending time prioritizing God. I want to encourage you to get back to listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Because if you close it out, then you're left with just every other voice that is around you. So go back to listening to the voice. Let's not be like sheep who go astray, but let's listen to the perfect life-giving voice of Christ. Is he a priority in your life? Is he the one that you're following? Is he the one that is truly leading you through life's journey? Let's pray. God, tonight we want to say sorry for the times that we've gone astray. God, where we've put our own ambitions and desires ahead of those of yours. God, before we've prioritized other things and other people over you. God, help us to get back as your followers to a place of listening and knowing your voice and what you have to say. Help us to prioritize you this week above every single thing. And that for those of us, God, that don't yet know you, God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that you truly are the Good Shepherd, that you're the one who truly cares, that you're the one that gave down your life for the sheep, for them, so that they could have true life, eternal life that is found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.